Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Sunny tomorrow in the high in the mid-80s. 55 degrees right now in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's Game with Words, now an international sensation with universal appeal.
And this is hilarious in Warsaw, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. They're killing themselves.
I killed with this in Rocklaw.
Yeah, that's right.
I did.
Come with us and play the game. It's fun. Best of all, the rules are simple.
When in doubt, just babble.
When in doubt, blurt it out.
Seems to be working for me tonight.
Yes. Woman doesn't know her own genius.
Really? We promise you'll learn new things about the language and new things about the world.
That is the day that marmots return to Capistrano.
Right.
Something the Chamber of Commerce does not want you to know. Return with us now to the beginning of our 15th season. Vintage Says You, after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In Istanbul today, as diplomats met to decide what to do about the violence in Syria, police used tear gas and batons outside the conference building. They were dispersing a group of demonstrators supporting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Syria is criticizing the conference. A front-page editorial in a state newspaper calls it an international scramble to kill more Syrians. Conference participants are calling on Special Envoy Kofi Annan to determine a timeline to end the conflict, saying that the window of opportunity for Assad to meet his commitments is not open-ended. The leader of a group of army officers who seized control of Mali's government earlier this month is describing discussions with the regional envoy as very positive. The envoy was sent by the West African bloc demanding that power be handed back to civilians. From the capital, NPR's Ophelia Quist-Darkton reports that he spoke as rebels seized control of another strategic town in the north and are besieging the historic town of Timbuktu.
If Timbuktu falls, and many people say it's a case of when Timbuktu falls, that will be the last important town in northern Mali that was in inverted commas, government hands. So that means that the rebels will now be in control of a swathe of territory in the Sahara Desert that goes almost from Mali's border, and then, of course, coming down south. And the fear is, will they stop in the north, which they say they want as their Azawad homeland, or because of the confusion and chaos, because of the political situation here in the capital, Bamako, are they going to advance southward?
NPR's Ophelia Quist-Darkton. A luxury cruise ship adrift at sea for more than a day because of a fire has safely reached a port in Malaysia. The ship was stranded at sea off the southern Philippines with 1,000 people on board after flames engulfed one of its engine rooms Friday night. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is trying to focus on President Obama as the former Massachusetts governor campaigns in Wisconsin. But as Chuck Quernbach of Wisconsin Public Radio reports, rival Rick Santorum is still taking on Romney.
Both Romney and Santorum spoke Saturday night at a Republican dinner near Milwaukee. Romney continued to criticize President Obama, claiming the Democratic incumbent wants a government-centered society.
What the president's doing is fundamentally trying to transform America into something we wouldn't recognize, something more European. And Europe doesn't work in Europe. Sure as heck isn't going to work here.
But former Pennsylvania Senator Santorum continues to argue he's the true conservative in the Republican primary. Santorum implored the audience to think anew who they will support in Tuesday's election in Wisconsin. For NPR News, I'm Chuck Quernbach in Milwaukee.
You're listening to NPR News. Supporters of Myanmar's opposition leader say Aung San Suu Kyi has won a seat in parliament. Her victory in today's elections, if confirmed, would mark a milestone for Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. The military has ruled almost exclusively for half a century. Police in Lexington, Kentucky last night had to deal with fans swarming into the streets after the University of Kentucky's basketball team made it into the NCAA tournament's championship game. Kentucky beat cross-state rival Louisville in their final four matchup. Riot police ended up using pepper spray in small amounts as some fans overturned cars and torched couches. Kentucky faces Kansas in the final after the Jayhawks edged Ohio State in the other final four game. The four best teams in women's Division I college basketball are in Denver for today's Final Four. Connecticut plays Notre Dame in the first semifinal. The second game features undefeated Baylor against Stanford. NPR's Tom Goldman is in Denver.
It's a power quartet at the Final Four. Only the second time in history, four regional number one seeds have met to decide the women's championship. At the top of that elite group is Baylor, led by 6'8 post player Brittany Griner and point guard Odyssey Sims. The Lady Bears are 38-0, two games away from becoming the first team ever to win 40 games in a season. Baylor's semifinal opponent Stanford may have the best chance to smudge the perfect record. Stanford is in its fifth straight Final Four and is on a school record 32-game winning streak. The Cardinals senior post player Nneka Ogwumike is tenacious and athletic and says she's looking forward to her first college game against Griner. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Denver.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You's Season 15 premiere comes from the Firebox Barbecue. Tex-Mex classics and authentic cuisine in Boston Metro West. On the web at fireboxbbq.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts in Concord, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You. A simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. To do this show, you needed brilliance. None available, we turn to him, Barry Nolan.
Thank you.
To do this show, you needed comprehensive understanding of words, arts, and sports. And two out of three weren't bad for Francine Akbar.
No sports.
And to do this show, you needed wit. And by golly, he's halfway there, Mr. Tony Khan.
It's nothing really.
And who will lead on this auspicious occasion?
I don't know.
Francine.
The one in the middle.
The sports maven.
Francine. Well, Captain. To my left, team two, I did not know that this show could actually be done until by chance I met one Arnold Reisman. You needed some class, some substance, and then there appeared Paula Lyons. And to top it off, we got the luckiest break any show ever got when we met the fabulous Carolyn Faye Fox.
And where are they now?
Who's going to lead tonight?
Arnie.
Oh, yes, okay.
Arnold, well, lead. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. 15 years we've been at it, parsing, sniping, locked in verbal combat to commemorate a round of 15 facts. 10 points if you can fathom the following 15 phenomenon. Carolyn?
Yes.
What famous 15 was originally found in an exhibition catalog for the Moderna Museet in Stockholm?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes. What famous 15 was originally found in an exhibition catalog for the Moderna Museet in Stockholm?
Well, that's an excellent question.
This
yes.
is true. 15, meaning that was number 15 in the museum?
I'm familiar with item 14 and item 16.
Yes, but
I mean, you're not talking about Munch's The Scream, are you?
No. Oh, no. But you're, at least you know...
Well, there were 15 paintings by somebody, right? Is that what
you
mean?
No. There was a famous 15 at that museum.
A 15?
Yes.
15.
The Moderna Museet in Stockholm.
When?
Was it a Picasso?
No. This was in 1968.
In 1968, a famous...
So came up with...
What are those still lifes that you sometimes call 1968,
this is like a lost...
15.
Oh, was it a Warhol?
Yes, ma'am.
It was
All
a
right,
Warhol.
It was a Warhol.
1968.
What would have been a famous 15?
Is that 15? The Heinz ketchup
15
bottle?
15 Heinz soup, Campbell's soup, 15.
Is that the Heinz ketchup bottle?
No, the Heinz ketchup is 57.
Oh, well, that's
varieties.
A...
15. Well, 15 minutes of fame is what we always think of.
Is that what it was, his phrase? They found it written down somewhere?
Oh, that's exactly right.
All right.
I'm getting
that's
it.
Exactly
okay.
What it was.
Right. That's what you meant by 15.
He never 15. Actually said it. It was written in an exhibition catalog of his works that in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes.
What do you mean he never said it then?
He never said it out loud.
Oh, he never. How do you know he never said it out loud? To go to the bathroom with him? I mean, you could have been standing there. You know,
everyone's going
to... 15 minutes.
Try this one, Tony. What do lieutenant generals and vice admirals share about the number 15?
Oh.
And vice admirals share about the number 15.
Yeah, something about the number 15 shared by lieutenant generals and vice admirals. What might that be?
Would that be the ranking?
Minimum number of years in service?
What an excellent guess, and you will get points for that. That's not correct. Does the other side know? Don't say it out. You do know?
They okay. have a comment. No. Vice admirals, they're responsible for 15 divisions.
She said stripes.
Oh, that's another excellent. Give them 4 points so far because they've been doing well on the guessing front, if not on the accuracy front. Any thoughts?
Is that how many there are in the service?
No, that's not it. I'm going to give you 4 points for your guessing. Go to the other side. What do you think?
Stars?
Total number of stars?
That's not it. Oh. Audience, you want to take a shot?
3 5-point stars.
No?
15-gun salute.
15-gun salute is exactly right.
Ah.
That is the honor. Very good out there.
Could we ask how you come to know that?
Ah, okay. But that's very good. From the audience, it is the number of guns in their salute, as opposed to 21 for the chief executive or ruler of a country and things like that. It goes down.
All right.
Arnie, what might be meant by the 15 puzzle?
The 15 puzzle?
Yes. And this I know you are familiar with.
I am?
Oh, absolutely.
Then how would I answer this?
I don't know.
The 15 puzzle.
The 15 puzzle.
A puzzle that's in 15 pieces.
Sort of.
Is it a map?
No, it's not. I guarantee you have actually encountered this many times in your life.
Many times in my life.
Oh,
a 15 puzzle. Has it to do with crosswords?
It does not.
Okay.
It's a physical puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a physical puzzle.
Like
is that
a
the
jigsaw.
Rubik's
or a
cube?
Rubik's cube.
No. Oh, and then
the little. Is that what is it called? You mean the little tray with the 15 pieces in the 16th hole? And you move them around until you can get it in order. And 1 to 15.
That's what a 15 puzzle is. Let me give you a better bell.
Remember that.
I never knew the name of that thing.
That is called. It is the sliding puzzle that consists of a frame of numbered squared tiles in random order from 1 to 15 with one tile missing, and the object is to place the tiles in order by making slides and using
a screwdriver like I used to.
And a hammer.
Yeah, I found that your teeth helped too, Arnie.
Look how it's all in order.
Francine, the SAMU, Service d'Aide Médicale Urgente,
easy for you.
Has something to do with the number 15. What would that be?
The what?
The SAMU, Service d'Aide Médicale Urgente, has something to do with the number 15. What is it?
Yeah, have anything to do with seeing it backwards in the rear view?
No. Starts in the 15th arrondissement.
Is that where you call instead of 911?
No. Oh, ah, good one there.
It is the French version. Very good.
That's good.
Good.
It is the French version of 911. Yes.
Wow.
Because
oh
as you Rome, know, in Rome you can dial XV.
That's true. 15. Okay.
It might be the case, I guess.
Yes.
All right. This one is just horrible, but try it out anyway. Paula, what does the number 15 have to do with dermatoglyphics?
Dermatoglyphics?
Dermatoglyphics. 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 And also matters uncopyrightable.
Uncopyrightable. Dermatoglyphics, are those tattoos?
Yeah, aren't they?
I think you need to look at those.
15 skull and crossbones is the limit.
Yeah.
I think you need to look at those words and see what you might make out of it.
I see.
Dermatoglyphics and
dermatoglyphics and matters uncopyrightable.
Copyrightable.
Oh, it's the number of letters in the word.
It is the number of letters in both words, and do you know what makes that significant?
Oh, you're not repeating a letter.
That is exactly right. Those are the and I know I'm going to get a lot of mail on this.
I know,
because there is a word subdermatoglyphic in there, they don't think that's really a word. These are the longest words with a couple of others that you can write without repeating a letter. 15 letters long. And no repeated letters.
Have you not met Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski?
Yes. .com.
And finally, Barry, what connection might exist between July 15th and good old Marmota Monax?
What?
M-A-R-M-O-T-A. New word, M-O-N-A-X.
Monax.
Monax.
It's July 15th, Bastille Day?
It's not Bastille Day. That's July after. 14th.
Oh.
July 15th.
A marmot.
That is the day that marmots return to Capistrano.
Right.
And something the Chamber of Commerce does not want you to know.
Marmota.
You're in the right family. You're certainly in the right family, but there's a very American component.
So that's
to this.
Groundhog. That's the groundhog.
It is in
Groundhog
fact
Day.
The groundhog. Do you know what connection might exist between July 15th and the groundhog?
It's exactly 6 months later.
You know what? I'm going to give you 8 points because nobody, I think, on this side of the pond would get this.
Oh, really? It's the Groundhog Day in France?
It's Bill Murray's birthday.
Anybody in the audience know? Someone? July, no one from Britain in the audience.
Britain.
It's Hedgehog Day.
No, it's actually St. Swithin's Day.
St. Swithin's!
In England.
Of course.
And for those of you who don't know what St. Swithin's Day is all about, legend proclaims whatever the weather is on that day, so shall it be for the next 40 days. It is England's Groundhog Day.
So shall it be good for the next 40 days? What are they, nuts?
No, it's Great Britain. You know, it's altogether possible.
Yeah.
It could rain for 40 days. But very good. You got the groundhog connection. Give them 8 points.
Who started this holiday, Noah?
Yeah, really. And Ben, give him 8 points for that, and nice job, you guys, on a round of 15 to celebrate our 15th. Thanks. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from the Ben Powell Quartet. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word rattan. R-A-T-T-E-N, Ratten. Gentlemen? This is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, north or south, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
Hello again, I'm Armin Alney. Next on To The Point, this is the year of big data, the deluge of digital information about everybody used to sell everything from products to politicians. What's the difference between good big data and bad? Next time on To The Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
From toiling in farmers' fields to stocking Walmart shelves to serving fast food, author Tracy McMillan chronicles her quest to understand the American way of eating. She joins guest host Brent Bambury on Cue coming up from PRI, Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Lipscomb University, a Southeastern university integrating academics, community service, and faith in order to fully prepare students for their best life ahead. Details at lipscomb.edu. Time is 9:22, 65 degrees in Nashville.
Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. The Ben Powell Quartet. Welcome Ben Powell on the violin, Jonathan Joubert on guitar, Jack Soroff on guitar, and Alexander Trampas on the bass. Thanks, guys. This also gives me a moment to thank our scorekeepers. That's Max Fernandez and Mr. Benjamin Schur. Thanks for keeping the score, you guys. We've had a few moments with the word ratten. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Ratten, to refurbish an archery or shooting target.
Refurbish?
To refurbish an archery or shooting target?
I guess in the case of an archery target, it would be to restuff it with straw, or in a shooting target, to repost the target.
Oh, when you refurnish it, when you refurbish a shooting target, you ratten it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's possible. Or, Arnie, something else.
It's a verb, and it's also a labor term. Ooh. As in, sometimes when management is at war with its union, the union can resort to rattening all the tools in the place in order to force management to meet their demands. So, in effect, to ratten is to steal.
To steal.
To have your demands met.
To steal to have your demands
met. To steal as a negotiating tool.
Okay. To steal as in a labor negotiation, steal something and you'll get the upper hand.
Yes.
What say you to all this, Paula?
Well, you know, being from Boston, I thought ratten at first referred to what we used to do to our hair, you know, to
give it a little height.
But no, it is in fact a rug weaving term. It is, and it refers to the tool that they use to tamp down each row of weave as they go along.
A weaving tool is the ratten. Each row has to be tamped down as they go along. You use the ratten to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be that. It could be to steal to get the upper hand in a labor negotiation, or it could be to refurbish an archery or shooting target. It's one of those three, and the choice, Francine, falls to you.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm not buying the stealing.
There's not very much relationship between either of the three definitions, unless you're a Hollywood agent, I suppose. To steal, to have your demands met, and then
I'm inclined to the rug weaving, because I had a little trouble understanding from Carolyn whether it was a noun or a verb she was postulating.
But don't you think that weaving tool as a definition would not pop out from a dictionary and grab Richard by the throat? He would say, why should I bother with a word whose meaning is...
That's a good point.
I mean...
It's so obvious. It's the kind of answer I would come up with, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can I see something?
So let's go with Carolyn Faye Fox.
All right. We'll go with Carolyn.
Carolyn?
But actually, I think it might be Arnie, because it was such a layman thing.
No, let's go with Carolyn.
All right.
Carolyn, after much back and forth, they have decided that ratten is to refurbish an archery or shooting target. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Ratten. Please fake a definition.
10 points for a successful bluff. All right, audience, you got a 50-50 shot. What do you think? Well, Paula, I think the audience is on to you. I think they think it's the weaving tool. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Ratten. Please, fake a definition.
It is not. The definition.
So there, huh?
So there, Barry. Oh.
So what is the actual definition, Artie?
To steal tools in order to force management to meet union demands.
Wow.
Is what it means. 10 points for Arnie's team.
Wow.
Let's go on to round three. It hasn't always been easy to come up with questions all these years, but fortunately, when Phil and I get stymied, our listeners come to the rescue. Such is the case tonight with Hall of Fame contributor John Henderson of Lodi, New York, who hears us on both WEOS in Geneva and WRVO-FM in Syracuse. He thinks it's about time for this show to get graphic. For 10 points, what are the definitions of the following graphic words? Carolyn, dactylography.
Dactylography. Would that be, that sounds like finger painting.
Almost.
Or talking with your hands, or talking with your fingers, or?
No,
well,
that's
dactylography. Well, graphy is writing.
Almost there.
And dactyl, well, if it's pterodactylography, it could be...
You're pretty close.
Writing with one's fingers.
Writing with a finger.
Well,
handwriting on the wall.
Drawing a line in the sand.
Oh, boy, they're so close. Yeah. They're dancing all around it.
With finger paint.
Yeah. Well, the finger part is right.
Of course it is.
All right. It's
it's the graphy.
It's the graphy.
I think the other side does know.
Finger puppets.
Finger puppets.
I'm going to give you six.
Oh, sign language.
Sign language.
Oh, what a great guess. I'm going to give you 7 points total. Go to the other side.
Fingerprinting?
Fingerprint analysis is exactly right.
Fingerprint analysis.
Oh. Dactylography.
Dactylography.
Is fingerprint analysis.
Why don't they just call it fingerprint analysis?
I don't know. Tony, try this one. Grapharia.
Excuse me?
G-R-A-P-H-O-R-R-H-E-A. Grapharia.
It's all graphs.
Run-on sentence in pictures. You can't control the flow of images.
You can't stop writing.
That's when a picture is worth a million words.
It's actually a symptom that you see in things like schizophrenia.
You can't stop
tiny,
writing.
Endless writing that's cramped and all over the page.
You know, that's right. Can you think of an actual application, a professional application?
Oh, this is where you write write the entire Bible on a grain of rice.
Oh no! What a great guess! I'm gonna give you the 10 points. It's not exactly right. Can you think of a professional application for grapharia?
Not being a calligrapher.
Spies.
Gotcha. No. Oh, what another great guess! No, it is incoherent writing done by graphic artists to fill pages rather than to record or transmit a message when they're doing the mock-up of a book.
Oh, so it's like that sentence in the text in fake Latin, right?
They put in all the grapharia.
Grapharia.
And that's what it is.
Grapharia.
All right, 10 points for that. Good job. Arnie, try this one. What might be meant by nictograph? N-Y-C-T-O graph.
Oh,
nictograph.
Smoke signals.
Oh, what a wonderful guess.
Good.
No, that's not it.
It's not nictograph. N-Y-C-T-O-G-R-A-P-H?
Yes, nictograph.
Pictures, images of New York City.
Know.
Yeah.
Got to give him some points for that. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, it would help if I knew what nick was.
You got it?
Well, I've got an idea.
Okay, hold on.
Nictograph.
And I have to tell you, this is a capital N.
Oh, a capital N.
Capital N.
Yes, a nictograph.
Oh, so I was right.
Oh, it's pictures of Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah?
A nictograph.
You'll love this, Ryan. When you hear about this, you'll love it.
N-Y-C-T-O nictograph. And it's not New York City.
It's not a map of New York City or pictures of New York City. It's not New York City.
It has nothing whatsoever to do with New York City.
But it has something to do with a human?
It does. One Lewis Carroll, as a matter of fact.
Whoa!
Told you you'd like it.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
I thought it might be a paper cut.
Oh.
That's good.
She gets points for that, too.
Yeah. Nicto.
It was an instrument invented, in fact, by Lewis Carroll.
Oh, it's to draw...
No. Any help from the other side?
Is it some sort of engraving process?
It is not. Any help from the audience?
Is it...
Mirror?
No.
Yeah.
A nictograph is a special instrument invented by Lewis Carroll for writing in the dark while still half asleep.
How does it work?
Has anyone ever seen a nictograph?
No. How do you find it?
Yeah, how do you find it?
Yeah. Interesting quote.
Maybe it's
now we have an app for that.
A nictograph. I loved it. Invented by Lewis Carroll.
Wow.
Give them 4 points for being particularly clever.
Clever.
And go on to Francine. Francine,
right.
What might be meant by tassiography?
Who? What?
How do you spell that?
T-A-S-S-E-O-G-R-A-P-H-Y.
Oh,
tassiography.
Oh. You know what this is.
Yeah.
This is those.
Barry?
Shh.
I know.
Oh.
Tea leaf reading.
When a stripper wants to spell something out.
I think you better listen to Mr. Kahn.
Tea leaf reading?
It's what?
Tea leaf reading.
It is exactly.
Tea leaf
reading. How did you know that?
I have no idea.
Tessel. The other one is Tess.
Absolutely no idea.
Tassiography is the study of reading tea leaves.
Because I was thinking in Spanish, cup is taza.
Taza.
Taza, yes.
That's
I thought
demitasse.
So maybe that's why.
And taza. Yes. Very good.
Very
good.
These last two, no one will get, but I'll give you all kinds of hints on this just to help you out. Paula, what might be meant by a balneographer?
Hmm? Who?
B-A-L-N-E-O-grapher. G-R-A-P-H-E-R. Balneographer.
Balneographer. Grapher. So B-A-L-N-E-O-G-R-A-P-H-E-R.
Yeah.
Balneographer. He takes pictures of people in the bath.
Takes new pictures.
That's exactly right.
When in doubt, just babble.
When in doubt, blurt it out.
Seems to be working for me tonight. Yes.
Yes. Woman doesn't know her own genius.
Really? It's actually someone who writes about photographs or talks about people taking baths.
Oh, yeah.
Where can you get jobs like this?
I have no idea. And all I kept thinking was, so I was saying yesterday to my balneographer.
Yeah. Right. Tubliotto.
Barry, there is absolutely no way you will get this, but everyone will like this answer, and I'm going to try to help you out. What might be meant by prosopography? P-R-O-S-O-P-O-G-R-A-P-H-Y. Prosopography.
Rubbing somebody's nose in it.
Is it something like taking photos of books?
Boy, you know, I thought for a minute you were going to get it. I really did. No, it's not.
The taking photos part got...
Well,
It's taking photos...
It could be taking photos, but not necessarily.
Making images.
Not necessarily. It's more about a study.
Prosopography is the study... Are we 5 points there yet?
No, but anything to do with a person's handwriting?
No. This is something about groups. Can you think about what it might be? Something about groups.
It's the early science that led to Facebook.
Measuring facial features.
No, it is not. Any help from the other
side? Head size.
No, any help from the
other side? It's the opposite of anti-sopography.
Any help from the audience?
Sleep.
Then we're all going to learn that prosopography is a group biography or collective study of a group of individuals. For example, studies of 19th century blacksmiths or medieval philosophers. But that's what a prosopography is. It's that group study that you would see, in Life magazine, I guess. But that's a prosopography, and I hope we all use it in the future. In the meantime, let's go on to round four, which is Francine's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Marowski.
Sure.
M-A-R-R-O-W-S-K-Y. Marowski.
Marowski.
Gentlemen?
Wow.
Says You says thanks to Parsons Audio, professional audio services, system design, service, and support. On the web at paudio.com. And Says You says thanks to the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts. Gallery, classes, theater, resident artists in historic Concord, Massachusetts. On the web at emersonumbrella.org. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the Next On Point, reported autism rates skyrocket. One child in 88 now has an autism diagnosis. One in 54 boys. We'll take a look behind the sobering numbers. Plus, beyond Trayvon Martin, Michelle Alexander argues that mass black incarceration has created a new era of Jim Crow. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Love me or leave me.
On the next Fresh Air, Doris Day. There's a new CD-DVD set of her recordings and films. She's also the star of the month on TCM, and she's about to turn 88. Also, comic Aziz Ansari. He has a new online comedy special. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Support for Says You on WPLN comes from the many businesses and organizations that invest in Nashville Public Radio as part of their marketing and community outreach. Information on partnering with WPLN is at WPLN.org. Coming up in about 20 minutes is Studio 360. That's at 10 o'clock. Right now the time is 9:40. It's 68 degrees in Nashville.
Quartet.
Well, I don't know.
That's Ben. Thanks,
guys.
We have had a few moments with the word Mowrowski. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, if you had a golden retriever,
yes,
as I did for 12 years, you'd know that there is only one thing that could ever get a golden retriever to loosen his lip lock 24/7 on any of 10,000 sticks, 4,000 tennis balls, or 8 million spit wads of wrapping paper, and that is a Mowrowski, or a really good soup bone.
A really good soup bone. It's about the only way you're going to distract a golden retriever. That could be it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be something else. Francine, what say you?
A Mowrowski is a type of tune, a polka-like tune played on an accordion.
Yes.
She danced a gay Mowrowski.
A polka-like tune played on what?
An accordion.
Oh, on an accordion. Okay.
Okay.
Could be that. The snickering in the audience notwithstanding, it could be that. Or, Barry, it could be something else. What say you?
Well, while we're on the Polish theme,
yes?
Mowrowski was apparently the Polish or the Warsaw spooner, inadvertently flipping the initial letter of words. So instead of saying family man, he'd say, he's a fine manly fan. Or it's, I cleaned it up with furniture polish. So the Mowrowski was the Polish version of spooner.
Okay.
Think about it. Okay. Mowrowski is a Polish spoonerism.
It's a spoonerism. The guy that is a spooner is Mowrowski. Could be the polka tune played on the accordion. Or it could be just a really, really good soup bone. It is one of those three, and the choice, Arnie, is yours.
You know, 15 years of Tony's sounds totally ridiculous, and then you listen to the other two, and you go, eh.
Well, I mean, you said when you looked at Mowrowski...
Yeah, I don't know if he heard me.
He said that's exactly what I said. It's a Russian bone for my dog.
Yeah.
So maybe it's too obvious, or maybe it's just right.
I think a polka-like tune.
I don't think
is a balalaika.
Mazurki was on vacation, or
and a Polish spoonerism. I don't know.
A Polish spoonerism. A And this is hilarious in Warsaw. Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. They're killing themselves.
I killed with this in Rocklaw.
Yeah, that's right.
I killed. They cracked up and cracked out.
It fell flat.
Well, what do you think?
I think of my favorite Spoonerism when he wanted to insult someone and called him a shining wit.
What do you think? Do I leave that in?
Richard.
Okay.
All right, what do you think?
I have no clue, but I mean, I'm agreeing with you. The soup bone, which we were laughing at, sounds...
It might as well be the soup bone.
You know, we're going to go with the soup bone.
Tony, they have come to the conclusion that Marowski is a great soup bone.
We would like it to be.
Yes. Is that in fact what it is?
Well... There will never be another golden retriever like my dog, Ben.
No, there won't.
But
there won't.
You certainly can make up a definition for Marowski.
That was a bluff. All right, audience. 50-50 shot. What do you think?
Spoonerism, huh?
And I think, Barry, they just edged it out with the Spoonerism. Is a Marowski a Polish Spoonerism?
Marowski is a Polish Spoonerism.
He really is. 10 points for Francine's team. Good bluff.
What does it say on that card?
It says,
Marowski, a Polish Spoonerism.
Okay.
This week's Spotlight Round comes at the behest of Molly Holliday of Akron, Ohio, who hears us courtesy our good friends at WCPN in Cleveland. Molly writes, I know your stock and trade is words, but I really like the pop culture questions. Where else can one find out who Gene Nidich and others were but on Says You? That's the one round I remember from the distant past. How about a replay? Okay, Mary, your memory takes you all the way back to season 4. 'Twas on a rainy day in Lincoln, Massachusetts that Lenore Shannon joined the fun for a round of some eponymous nonsense.
A category titled Not Good With Names. Please tell me the legend, history, or accomplishments of the following folks whose names are on the tips of our respective tongues. Carolyn Keene.
Carolyn Keene. She wrote the Nancy Drew books.
She did, in fact, write the Nancy Drew books. Very good. Carolyn Keene, 10 points. Tony Sadaharu O. S-A-D-A-H-A-R-U-O-H. Sadaharu O.
You know, I don't recognize his name, but I know his face. That's not Saki, is it?
It is not.
No.
Isn't that a baseball player?
It is, in fact.
Oh, no, that's the Babe Ruth of Japan.
Right. It is, in fact, the Babe Ruth of Japan.
Oh,
wow. Sadaharu O hit the most home runs of anybody from Japanese baseball. Very good. Arnie... James Bond Stockdale.
Was that his middle name?
Isn't this the guy who ran for vice president under Perot?
It is exactly the guy that ran. Admiral James Bond Stockdale, a man with an absolutely illustrious career, a long, distinguished, and honorable scholar. Opened the 1992 vice presidential debate by saying, Who am I?
Who am I? Why am I here?
What am I doing here? And this is how
we need him now.
And this is how a man with 10 honorary doctorates is remembered. Lenore, Harry Von Zell. V-O-N-Z-E-L-L.
Burns and Allen.
I don't go back that far.
He was the announcer on Burns and Allen. That's exactly right.
10 points. Very good. Harry Von Zell was the announcer for George Burns and Gracie Allen. Paula. Jay Ward.
Oh. Wasn't he Dennis the Menace?
No.
Never mind.
Jay Ward.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
It's the Jay Ward Studios that produced Rocky and Bullwinkle, did the whole animated series.
See, I knew that.
Then you get 10 points. That's exactly right.
Good, Arnie.
Jay Ward. Jay Ward was the famous Hollywood producer who produced Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons and their spin-offs Hoppity Hooper, Dudley Do-Right, and others too numerous to mention.
And the clutter in this man's brain never ceases to amaze.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, Barry, let's see if you can close out a big day by telling us about Gene Nidetch. N-I-D-E-T-C-H. Gene Nidetch.
N-I-D-E-T-C-H?
Paula knows.
Paula knows.
Yes. Any thoughts on what does Paula know that nobody else knows? What area is she?
Wait a minute. When you hear the answer, you'll understand.
Gene Nidetch.
Gene Nidetch. Sounds like a sports announcer.
Gene Nidetch is about as far from a sports announcer as it could be.
The only person in the room that seems to know it is the queen of consumer affairs. So my guess is Gene Nidetch invented the warranty.
On any other day, I'd give you credit, but it's too close a day today. Paula, who is Gene Nidetch?
She is the founder of Weight Watchers.
She is the founder of Weight Watchers. Very good. No points for that.
I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
Let's close tonight.
Oh, please.
Yes, sir. Let's close tonight. We cannot help but be imbued by the revolutionary spirit here in Concord, where not far from here was fired the shot heard round the world. To that end, we close with a round of historical nonsense. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please give me the Revolutionary War era figure I have in mind.
Paul Revere.
For example, if I said pitifully small swerve, that would be a paltry veer. Yes,
oh, my
Paul
God.
Revere.
Oh, my God. Paltry veer.
Well, I'm glad I already got that one.
Try this one. Try this one, Carolyn.
Sure.
Revolutionary War figure brought to mind by the clue Hill maddened Schwarzenegger.
Hill?
Benedict Arnold.
Is exactly right. Benedict Arnold, you want to parse that out?
No.
the Arnold is enough.
Yeah.
Arnold.
Hill is Benny Hill.
Benny Hill.
Benny Ticked Arnold, ticked. Yes. Benedict ticked. Arnold.
Oh, God.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Groan.
The Revolutionary War figure. Try this one, no, Tony. No. Giggle Decree.
Giggle Decree.
Yes.
Laugh. Oh. Titter.
Yeah,
I got it.
Oh, Benedict. Well, Edict.
That's
an L. Giggle Decree. Famous Revolutionary War figure.
Oh. Arnie's got it.
Wait a second. What's his name? The Frenchman, you know.
Giggle. Describe him.
He's a Frenchman. It was the only French.
Lafayette.
Well, Lafayette is correct. Can you parse that out?
Laugh. Fiat.
Yeah. Fiat. Finally. Laugh. Fiat. This laugh. Boy, you're getting it's getting rough out there. Arnie, try this one. Mr. Archibald, breathe in.
Mr. Archibald.
Nathan Hale.
Nathan Hale.
Yes.
That is exactly right.
Very good.
Nate Archibald, of course. Yeah. Nate Inhale. Try this one, Francine. Revolutionary War figure brought to mind by phony elementary particles.
Phony?
Yes. Phony elementary particles.
Quarks?
No.
Elementary particles.
Oh.
Protons.
Oh, geez.
Phony.
Yeah, here.
fake.
Phony, false, fake-a-trons.
The other side
elementary
is,
particles.
The other side's really into this.
No, elementary
so
particles.
Adam?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam John Adams.
No.
No.
Sam, phony, something Adams. Phony Adams.
John Adams. Adams.
Well, they got the Adams.
What are they? Samuel.
Sam Adams.
Sam Adams.
Sam Adams. Parse it out for me.
Sam.
No!
Give him 6 points, Arnie. Help him out.
Sham Adams.
Sham Adams.
Sham
Adams.
Whoa.
Remember what the show is.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. A hiss.
Okay.
You gotta love it. Try this one. Try this one, Paula. Clammer's getting hitched.
Clammer?
Yeah, clammer. I should say clammer's getting hitched.
Spell it.
K L A M M E R. Clammer's getting hitched.
Clammer's getting hitched.
Clammer? What's a clammer? Clammer?
I have no idea. Who's Clammer? No.
A very famous Clammer.
Oh, really?
Guess I got to give him the clue of the famous Austrian downhiller.
Oh, my God. Oh.
We're so athletic.
One of the most famous sports images on television ever.
Oh, you mean the agony of defeat guy?
No, that's not. That's who was that? Bogoslaw something or other.
So it's Hans or somebody?
Well, you're close.
Hans.
Just tell him the first name, audience.
John Hancock.
Franz.
Franz.
Franz Clammer.
Francis.
Getting hitched.
Francis weds. Francis gets married.
No, they're not going to get it.
Francis is a talking horse.
No.
Francis.
Does the other side know? Does the audience know? Francis Marion.
Francis
Marion.
I don't even know who that is.
The Swamp Fox.
I'm admitting.
Didn't you ever watch Disney when you were a little kid?
Francis Marion.
Francis
Marion. Yes, Francis Marion.
The Swamp Fox.
And if you think all those were bad, wait till you catch this one.
That's
clever. Revolutionary War figure Barry brought to mind by chowing down while exhausted.
Chowing down while exhausted.
You got this?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Ethan Allen.
Yeah.
Is exactly right. Yeah. Ethan Allen. Yeah. Eaton all in. Yes. Eaton all in. It.
Oh. Come on, start throwing.
I think I might have warned you before this that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that certainly was the way to end the show, don't you think?
Yes. Mercifully.
That means today's contest ends in an 82-82 tie. Congratulations to both teams. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Kerry Flood, to Jules Fisk, and all the folks here at the Emerson Umbrella for making this so easy. Sharon Salkin to the writers, Antonio Oliart, mans the meters, and Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. As we start our 15th season, I want to say thanks to these guys for never once failing to amuse and astound. And thanks to all of you out there for never failing to show up. And thanks, Concord, for celebrating with us. We'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch.
Busted.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Austin Peay Center for Excellence in Creative Arts, hosting the Gateway Chamber Orchestra, performing Haydn's Symphony No. 22, The Philosopher, and Schubert's Symphony No. 5, April 23rd in APSU Concert Hall. And celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in this country for both men and women, but it can be prevented. Exercise, maintaining a healthy weight, getting screened regularly, and eating plenty of fruits and vegetables can help keep hearts healthy. More information about Vanderbilt Heart Prevention Specialists and custom prevention programs can be found at VanderbiltHeart.com.